So today we are having His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association for all of us. So now I would like to take over the call to you. Now you can take over. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji. I am very grateful to be in the association of all of you. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. We are reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. We are reading from Madhya Lila, chapter 19. We'll study three verses, verse number 139, 140 and 141. Verse 139. Keshagra Shateka Bhaga Puna Shatam Sakari Tara Sama Sukshma Jivera Rupa Vichari Tara Sama Sukshma Jivir Swarupa Vichari. Translation and purports by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: the length and breadth of the living entity is described as 1/10,000th part of the tip of a hair. This is the original subtle nature of the living entity. Verse number 140. Keshagra shata bhagasya shatamsa shadrashatmakah jivaha sukshma swarupoyam sankhyatito hichitkanah. Translation: if we divide the tip of a hair into 100 parts and then take one of these parts and divide it again into 100 parts, that very fine division is the size of but one of the numberless living entities. They are all chit kana, particles of spirit, not matter. Purport: this is quoted from the commentary on the portion of Srimad Bhagavatam wherein the Vedas personified offer their obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna confirms this statement in the Bhagavad Gita 15.7. Mamayvamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Lord Shri Krishna personally identifies himself with the minute living entities. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Spirit, the Super Soul, and the living entities are his very minute parts and parcels. Of course, we cannot divide the tip of a hair into such fine particles, but spiritually such small particles can exist. Spiritual strength is so powerful that a mere atomic portion of spirit can be the biggest brain in the material world. The same spiritual spark is within an ant and within the body of Brahma. According to his karma, material activities, the spiritual spark attains a certain type of body. Material activities are carried out in goodness. Passion and ignorance, or a combination of these. According to the mixture of the modes of material nature, the living entity is awarded a particular type of body. This is the conclusion. Verse number 141. Balagra shata bhagasya shatadha kalpitasya cha bhago jivahasa vigneya iti chaha parashrutihi. Translation. If we divide the tip of a hair into 100 parts and then take one part and divide this into another 100 parts, that 10,000th part is the dimension of the living entity. This is the verdict of the chief Vedic mantras. The first three padas of this verse from the Panchadashi Chitra Deep 81 are taken from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 5.9. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Echa Patitanam Pabhya Vishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishnema Pradayate Krishnaya Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, I would like to offer my humble obeisances at the lotus feet of all the devotees who are listening. Thank you very much for giving this opportunity and to serve you in this way. So we are in a...
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I hate to interrupt. There seems to be some kind of disturbance. I don't know if it's just me, is everybody having the same issue?
Here, the disturbance, Mataji. I think somebody needs to mute their phone. Can everyone please...
Preeti Mataji, can you mute everybody for the beginning of the class and maybe unmute later on?
Yeah, I'll just look up on that.
Thank you very much. So, Hare Krishna, everybody. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We are discussing a very important section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. We are discussing that the pure devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his eternal associate, Srila Rupa Goswami and his brother Anupam, they have come all the way to Prayag searching for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have been longing for the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And finally, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were able to escape from Bengal under the rule of the Mlecha ruler, Nawab. And they came to Prayag and finally they got darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is staying with Vallabh Acharya, the great Acharya of the Vallabh Acharya Sampradaya, in the line of Rudra Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is associated, is accompanied by his associates. Srila Balabhadra Bhattacharya is also there. And now at Dashashwamedh Ghat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving his famous instructions to Rupa Goswami, also called as Rupa Shiksha. He is teaching Rupa Goswami for 10 days. And Srila Chaitanya Charitamrita describes what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Srila Rupa Goswami. So as we know, spiritual life is in three phases. There is Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. Sambandha is understanding our relationship, our eternal relationship with Krishna. Sambandha. Then the next stage is Abhideya. Abhideya is the process by which we try to actually realize our relationship with Krishna. So there is a difference between knowing something and realizing something. So Abhideya is the process of sadhana, the different activities that we engage in, which help us actually realize our eternal relationship with Krishna. And Prayojan is the final blissful stage where actually love for Krishna, Krishna Prem manifests and we are able to relish the rasa of bhakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very rightly begins Rupa Shiksha, begins his teachings to Rupa Goswami with Sambandha. So in these three verses that we discussed today, are being spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is starting with the basic fundamental truth that all of us, each and every one of us, all of us human beings, men, women, animals, insects, birds, plants, trees, bacteria, all of us, all living entities, big and small, are spiritual parts and parcels of Krishna. We are spiritual entities. And to give us an idea how subtle, how sukshma the living entities are, these three verses describe the same thing from different scriptures, but they describe the same thing. Whether it is Shvetashvatara Upanishad or whether it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking it in Bengali, it is exactly the same. That the tip of a hair, if you divide it into 100 parts and then you take out one part, and that very minute one part you divide it again into 100 parts, that very, very minute particle can give us some idea of how small the Jiva Atma is, the spiritual living entity is. As we know in Bhagavad Gita, yesterday was Gita Jayanti, so today we will see if we can talk about Bhagavad Gita. We'll refer to Bhagavad Gita as much as we can. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains to Arjun that Bhumirapornalo vayur khammano buddhir evacha ahankara ityamme bhinna prakriti ashtada. That these eight are my separated inferior material energies. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. And then sequentially we are going from gross to subtle. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So these are the material energies of Krishna. So Krishna's energy, for the purpose of our understanding, can be broadly divided into three parts. His antaranga, his internal potency, his external potency, which is the material energy, bahiranga, shakti, and then there is a tatastha shakti, which is the marginal potency. And the living entities, all of us, we come under the marginal potency category. So we can either take, because we are marginal, we are in between, we can either take shelter of the bahiranga shakti, the material energy, and get lost in the material world, or we can take shelter of Krishna's internal potency, his antaranga shakti, and become realized in our spiritual identity with Krishna, our relationship with Krishna. So the living entity is even subtler, it is even more sukshma than ahankar. So bhumi rapor nalor vayur kham mano buddhir evacha ahankar ityamme bhinna prakriti ashtada. Out of these eight, starting from the grossest, which is earth, so you can see the earth, you can touch the earth, you can smell the earth, you can, you know, it's visible, it has a fixed form, fixed shape. And then liquid water, yes, it has taste, it has, it, you know, it may have some smell also, you can see it, but it doesn't have a fixed shape, but it has a fixed volume. And then fire, you know, it is even subtler, you cannot really, you can touch it, but you cannot really, you will feel hot, but it is subtler than water. It doesn't have fixed volume. The flame keeps moving. And then air also, it is even subtler. You cannot even see the air. You cannot hold it. You cannot really, it doesn't have a fixed volume, fixed mass, so fixed shape. So air is even subtler than fire. Fire at least you can see, air you cannot even see. And then even, but air, when the wind blows on your skin, you can feel the air. But ether is even subtler. It's the electromagnetic waves or the radio frequency waves that, you know, are there in the atmosphere. You cannot even feel them. They are subtler. Now, mind is even subtler than that, because it is the mind that controls the gross body. The mind tells us, go here, do this, do that, and the body does. So the mind is subtler, but it is more powerful than the gross body. And subtler than that is intelligence, because mind may want to do something. If I have diabetes, my mind may look at an ice cream and say, oh, I want to eat that ice cream. But intelligence, being subtler and even more powerful, gives us the power to discriminate and to reason. And it will tell the mind that, no, today your blood sugar was 350. You better not eat that ice cream. Otherwise, it's going to go more than 500 and you'll have to go to the emergency room. So that is the intelligence telling the mind. So intelligence is even higher. But even subtler and more powerful than intelligence is the false ego. Because intelligence is saying that you have diabetes, don't eat the ice cream. But it is the ego that makes me believe that this body has diabetes, or I am the body who has diabetes. You see? So intelligence is discriminating that you will suffer if you eat ice cream. But it is the ego, ahankar, which convinces us who that you is. You will suffer, but who is that you? That is the false ego. That is the ahankar, which falsely identifies with this 5-foot-7-inch tall Indian bodied Adi Gadadhar Das, who has certain type of hair, who has certain type of eyes, certain set of teeth. I totally identify that I am this 5-foot-7-inch tall male from born in India, who is a physician in America. I am identifying with this, It is this identification is so deep, it is so real, it is so subtle that it is even more powerful than intelligence. And that is what keeps us bound to this material body and everything in relationship to the body. Now, even subtler than the ahankar, than the false ego, is the jivatma, the spiritual soul, which is what we really are. If you remove all these coverings, that is who we really are, spiritual spark. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Mana sashtani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. Krishna explains that we are amsha, we are his fragmental parts of Krishna. So Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is beginning his Rupa Shiksha by giving this fundamental truth, teaching this fundamental knowledge to Srila Rupa Goswami. Before we go to Krishna Prem and the esoteric mellows, rasa of bhakti, and we go to the Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to teach all of this to Rupa Goswami. But he starts with the basics. So we need to learn the basics and be convinced about these basics. So when I was thinking about these three verses, I was thinking, what do I speak about these verses? It's so clear, Srila Prabhupada's purports are so clear. But I was just thinking that we are so minute. We are 10,000th part of the tip of a hair. And if you study the hair has a base, the bulb of the hair, which is thick. And then as you go towards the Kesha Agra, towards the tip of the hair sequentially becomes thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner and finally comes to an end. So the tip of the hair is actually the thinnest part, even of the thin hair. So 10,000 part of that fine tip of a hair is how small we are. So what can we learn from this? There are 2-3 important lessons that we can all learn from this description that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us. We can learn how tiny we are, how insignificant we are. It should make us humble, because we may have very beautiful bodies, very, you know, healthy bodies, or we may have certain social status. You know, there will be certain things that might make us proud. We may have a nice car, we may have a nice big house that we live in, which may make us proud. That this is my property, this is mine, this nice SUV is mine. But we have to remember that in the ultimate analysis, we are 10,000th part of the tip of a small, tiny hair. All of us. Not just me, not just you, all of us. That's how tiny we are. So it should make us humble. It should make us humble that I am a small man, I am a small person. I am just a small, fragmental part of Krishna. The other lesson, other than humility, that we can learn from these three verses is when we contemplate and we think about our identity, that we are 10,000th part of the tip of a small hair, it should help give us all equal vision. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, at many places, he stresses the importance of this equal vision, this feeling of equanimity. So when we see that all of us, whether it's an ant or it is Lord Brahma, we are all a small, tiny part of Krishna, and we are all same. So it should give us a sense of fraternity. It should give us a sense of oneness, qualitative oneness, and equality. So that is the other thing we can learn, that actually, you know, we may think he's like that, but ultimately we are all same, we are all spiritual sparks of Krishna, we are all brothers and sisters, we are all children of the same loving God, Shri Krishna. And it should also, the third thing that we can learn from this is also respect. So one may question that if we are all the same, if we are so humble, because we are very tiny, we become humble, we have equal vision, then where does respect come in? Because we are all same. You respect somebody who is better than you. So where does the respect come in? There are two ways of looking at it. One is we should respect each other because each of us are amsha of Krishna. Our beloved Krishna, we are all his parts and parcels. So we should respect each other for that. That spiritually we are connected to our Krishna. And the other reason is we can have special respect. We should respect everyone. But we can have special respect for those people who help us understand our eternal identity and our eternal relationship with Krishna, which is our spiritual friends, our spiritual teachers. Why? Because we should respect them more because they are less covered over. Otherwise, if you look at the living entities, we all have different grades, different levels of coverings. But people who are spiritually advanced, they are less covered over. So for that, we can have feeling of genuine respect for them. So we can learn humility from these three verses, that we are just so small, tiny particles. We should not think that we are very big. We can learn to develop an equal vision, that we are all same. Why should I envy someone? We are all same. We are all brothers and sisters. We are all parts of Krishna. Why should I envy someone? We are all same. You envy someone who you feel has something that you don't have, but we all have the same thing. Spiritually, eternally, we have the same qualities. So why should we envy the same 50 qualities? And thirdly, we can learn respect from these three verses. Respect because we are all connected to Krishna. And over and above that respect, we can have a special respect for the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis because they are less covered over and they help us realize our eternal relationship with Krishna. Now, these three things that we discussed, humility, equal vision, and respect, all these three lessons we learned from these three verses today. And just last week, we celebrated a very important festival, which is called Odana Sashti. And we would like to discuss a few words about Odana Sashti because this year on the conference calls, we did not discuss about it. It was a Thanksgiving weekend, so it got missed. So with your permission and blessings, we would like to speak few words about Odana Sashti. And it is very much related to the three lessons that we learned from these three verses today. So in Chaitanya Leela, in Chaitanya Bhagwat, which is authorized narration of Chaitanya Leela by another pure devotee of Krishna, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, in that we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his leelas are primarily, you can look at them in several stages. First is his Balya Leela in Navadvip, where he was his Sachinandan, darling child of Mother Sachi. And then he manifested his scholarly pastimes, where he is Nimai Pandit. And then he meets his spiritual master, Srila Ishwar Puri. And then, after receiving his blessings, he inaugurates Nama Sankirtan. In the Agni Puran, there is a very beautiful verse where all this is predicted. It is said, Nama Sankirtanarambhe Bhavishyami Sachi Suta Swarnaditi Ramasthaya Navadvipe Janashraye. It is mentioned thousands of years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in this world. It is predicted that Nama Sankirtanarambhe, to do the Arambha of Nam Sankirtan movement, to inaugurate, Arambha means to inaugurate the Nam Sankirtan movement in the future. Bhavishyami Sachi Suta, the darling child of Mother Sachi will appear. Swarnaditi Ramasthaya Navadvipe Janashraye, on the banks of Mother Ganga in a town called Navadvip, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will appear. Just see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is predicted in the scriptures. नाम संकीर्तन आरंभे भविष्यामि सची सुत स्वर्णदीती रमास्थाय नवद्वीपे जनाश्रये. सो ही मैनिफेस्टेड हिज चैतन्य महाप्रभु लीला और हिज मायापुर चंद्र लीला वेर नाउ ही स्टार्टेड Harinam Sankirtan all over Navadvip, and he used to do all-night kirtans in the Srivas Angan with his confidential associates like Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, Murari Gupta. He performed the most nectarian, most beautiful, most heart-melting pastime of Mahaprakash Leela. That is his Mayapur Chandra pastimes. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And then he lived at Neelachal, Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri. And there he manifested his pastimes of sannyasi, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. So in this way, his leelas are divided into different parts. So when he was Shri Mayapur Chandra, when he was already initiated by Ishwar Puri, and he had already inaugurated the Nam Sankirtan movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with his confidential associates, Srivas Thakur, Advaita Acharya and others, and he was doing Nam Sankirtan in great ecstasy. At that time, suddenly one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started shouting, "Oh Pundarik, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi." And all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates were wondering, who is he calling? Who is this Pundarik Vidyanidhi? Pundarik means Shweta Kamal, a white lotus, Pundarik. And Pundarik Aksha is one of the names of Krishna, one whose eyes are like the lotus. So is he referring to Pundarik Aksha calling out Krishna's name? And Vidyanidhi can have so many meanings, can have so many connotations. It can refer to the Supreme Lord also, it can refer to devotees also who are ocean of transcendental knowledge. So who is this, what is the meaning of Pundarik Vidyanidhi? So his associates asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is a great devotee, and very soon my love will pull him to Navadvip. Very soon he will come to Navadvip, being attracted by my love. He is my eternal associate. He is such a great devotee that although in East Bengal, in Chattagram, he lives on the banks of one of the tributaries of Ganga Devi, he never has in his life stepped into Ganga out of respect. He cannot bear the thought of placing his feet into Mother Ganga. He cannot bear the sight of people washing their mouths in Ganga, rinsing their mouths and spitting in Ganga, washing their hair in Ganga, washing their dirty clothes in the river Ganga. Therefore, because he cannot even bear to see such a sight, he doesn't go near Ganga. Only late in the evening, when there is nobody, he goes to Ganga, and from a distance he offers his respectful obeisances to Mother Ganga and offers her beautiful prayers. This is Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He is an ocean of Krishna Prem. He is an ocean of ecstatic symptoms. And by my arrangement to the material people, he appears as a materialistic man who is very attached to opulence and luxuries and sense enjoyment. But actually, he is a hidden devotee. Only my pure devotees can understand the glories of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And very soon he will come to Navadvip, and your lives will become glorious once you associate with Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He is my father. He is my father. Saying this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wept tears of ecstasy. And all the devotees surrounding him understood how much love Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had for Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And in their hearts they prayed that please fulfill the desire of our Lord. Please let Pundarik Vidyanidhi come to Navadvip very soon. Now in East Bengal, which is now part of today's Bangladesh, in a village called Chattagram, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remembered him in this way, Pundarik Vidyanidhi in his heart, he felt a great longing to go to Navadvip. So, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he took all his associates and his servants and his disciples, and he made his way to Navadvip. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was so opulent, he was so affluent, he was so rich, so aristocratic, that he had a second home in Navadvip. He had a house in Navadvip also. So he came and started living in his house in Navadvip in great opulence. And Mukunda Dutt, who was a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and an intimate associate, he was from the same village originally as Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So he knew very well the glories of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And when Pundarik Vidyanidhi with his associates and disciples came to Navadvip, Mukunda came to know that Pundarik Vidyanidhi has come. Now, a very good friend of Mukunda was Gadadhar Pandit. So one day, Mukunda told Gadadhar that, my dear Gadadhar, there is a great devotee who has come from East Bengal. His name is Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He is decorated with all good devotional qualities. He is a reservoir of Krishna Prem. Would you please come with me and take his darshan? Your heart will be gladdened by meeting him. So Gadadhar Pandit said, yes, why not? Definitely. I am always eager to meet sadhus. So let's go. So Mukunda, he took Gadadhar to the house of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And they saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi sitting on a very beautiful bed made of metal. And it was bedecked with precious jewels and had very intricate carvings and very soft, comfortable cushion which was covered with silk linen. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi had two cushions to rest his back on, and these cushions were also covered with silk cloth. Next to his bed where he was sitting, there were two tables on both sides, and on each table there were containers with fragrant scented water which he could sip. And on one table there was an assortment of paan, betel. And there were two mirrors on both sides of this bed. And these mirrors were also decorated in a very beautiful ornate frame. And every now and then Pundarik Vidyanidhi would glance at himself in these mirrors, and he would smile at himself, at his own reflection. Pundarik Vidyanidhi looked like a devata. He was very beautiful to look at. He looked very aristocratic, like a prince. He had long hair, which were very beautifully oiled with scented oils, fragrant oils, and his hair was neatly combed. He had a spiritual effulgence on his face, and his lips were reddish because of eating paan, betel. And he was wearing very expensive silk clothes, and there was not a single crease on his clothes. He was perfectly dressed and sitting very comfortably. And there were two servants who were fanning him from both sides as he sat on the bed. And Mukunda introduced Gadadhar to Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi asked Gadadhar, who is this young man? He has a spiritual effulgence on his face which comes by performing very sincere devotional service. What is his name? What village is he from? Please tell me his identity. So Mukunda replied to Pundarik Vidyanidhi that this is my very dear brother, my very dear friend, Gadadhar. He is the son of Madhav Mishra. He is born in a very pious family, and from his birth, Gadadhar is very devoted to Krishna. He is very austere and very renounced. When he heard about your devotional qualities, he had a great desire to come and meet you. Therefore, I have brought Gadadhar to you. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi very courteously welcomed Gadadhar and had him sit comfortably and offered him hospitality. When Gadadhar Pandit observed the opulence and luxuries of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, a doubt came into his mind. He started thinking, what kind of a devotee is he? He's eating pan. He's applied so many fragrant oils to his body. His face is decorated with the dots of sandalwood pulp, and he is constantly looking in the mirror at his own face and appreciating his hair, appreciating the dots of sandalwood pulp on his beautiful face, and he is drinking, sipping fragrant water. He's wearing opulent dress. He has servants who are fanning him with chamara made of peacock feathers. What kind of devotee is he? I don't see any trace of devotion or austerity in him. And Mukunda, being a very intimate friend of Gadadhar, could read his thoughts. And he decided to bring out the best in Pundarik Vidyanidhi. See, this is what Vaishnavas do. As Vaishnavas, our job is to bring out the best in others and to glorify each other. So Mukunda immediately started reciting from Srimad Bhagavatam the verse that Uddhav spoke when he was heartbroken and feeling separation from Krishna, who had disappeared from this world. And when Uddhav met Vidur, two great devotees, they were pouring their heart out to each other. And in his separation, Uddhav had chanted this verse. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jighams yapaya yadapya sadhvi lebhe gatim dhatri uchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam urajema. That, oh alas, how shall I take shelter of one who is more merciful than Krishna, who even gave the demoness Putana the possession of his own mother, even though she tried to poison him, because he saw the good quality in Putana, that she is at least pretending to be my mother and trying to feed me. So Krishna saw that small, tiny spark of good quality in Putana and gave her liberation as his own dhatri, as his own mother in the spiritual world eternally. Who can be more merciful than Krishna? As soon as Mukunda in his beautiful voice chanted this verse spoken by the great devotee of Krishna, Shri Uddhav, in Srimad Bhagavatam, as soon as he chanted this verse and Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard it, he immediately went into an ecstatic trance. And he started saying, Krishna, Krishna, you are so merciful. And he went into ecstasy. His hair stood up on end. He started shivering. His teeth started chattering. He could not maintain his composure. He fell on the ground. And he started violently kicking and beating around in the room, because he said, read more, Mukunda. I want to hear more. And in his great ecstasy, he started tearing his own clothes. His hair became disarrayed. All the gopi dots on his beautiful face were wiped off. He kicked the table on which pan was kept, and everything fell on the floor. The containers of water, scented water, also fell down. He kicked the bed and the bed broke. He pulled out, ripped out the bed sheets on the bed. The cushions flew in the air, and it was all, everything became a mess. Everything that was so picture perfect, so beautiful, so luxurious, everything became a mess in a matter of few moments. Even the mirrors fell down and broke. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was in ecstasy, genuine ecstasy. He was saying, please, Mukunda, read more. Read more about my merciful Krishna. Oh, how merciful you are. Krishna, my heart has become like a stone. Why is my heart not melting upon hearing your glories? Please read more, O Mukunda. Please read more. Like this, Pundarik Vidyanidhi started crying. Tears started flowing out of his beautiful eyes. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi became unconscious. He lost external consciousness. And he went into a meditative trance on Krishna's beauty. Gadadhar Pandit, being a genuine devotee, could identify that these are real ecstatic symptoms. This is not cheap imitation. He looked at Mukunda and he told Mukunda, "My dear friend, when I saw the opulence of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, my heart became contaminated with doubts. And mentally I started offending him, started criticizing him. But thank you so much. You being my well-wisher and you being so merciful to me, you chanted this verse from Bhagavatam." And Pundarik Vidyanidhi went into genuine ecstasy. I am such an offender. It is said that all great devotees in the world have taken guidance from a particular spiritual teacher. And by following the instructions of that spiritual preceptor, their life becomes perfect and they advance in spiritual knowledge on the spiritual path. But my dear Mukunda, I am so unfortunate that I don't have a guru. I don't have a spiritual teacher whose instructions I can follow and make advancement. But after meeting Pundarik Vidyanidhi, I cannot think of anyone else who I should take shelter of as a disciple. Therefore, in my heart, I accept Pundarik Vidyanidhi as my guru. For 6 hours, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was in trance. Mukunda and Gadadhar Pandit sat next to Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and Gadadhar Pandit, thinking of how he had mentally offended him, was weeping tears of repentance. After 6 hours, when Pundarik Vidyanidhi finally came back to external consciousness and opened his eyes, he looked at the crying face of Gadadhar, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi's heart melted with compassion. Gadadhar Pandit fell at the lotus feet of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and Mukunda begged Pundarik Vidyanidhi, "Please initiate him. He has accepted you as his guru." Pundarik Vidyanidhi picked up Gadadhar and embraced him and said, "Glorious is that person who can find an exalted disciple like you. 10 days from now is a very auspicious tithi. Please come to me and I will initiate you in your Ishta Mantra." And Gadadhar Pandit became very happy, very ecstatic. He offered obeisances to Pundarik Vidyanidhi and went back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him everything that had happened. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became ecstatic to hear that Pundarik Vidyanidhi had come to Navadvip and also to hear that his beloved friend Gadadhar Pandit had decided to take spiritual initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Gadadhar Pandit told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I mentally offended Pundarik Vidyanidhi by seeing the externals. I got distracted by the externals. I got carried away by the externals. But Mukunda, being my well-wisher, revealed the greatness of Pundarik Vidyanidhi to me. I think the only way I can nullify my mental offense, my manasik aparad that I committed against Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the only way I can rectify that is by accepting him as my guru, by accepting him as my master and serving his instructions for the rest of my life. That is the only way I can nullify this offense. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled in agreement. He said, "You have come to the right conclusion, my dear Gadadhar." And then 10 days later, Gadadhar Pandit was initiated in the Ishta Mantra by Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Now we will fast forward. Now we will go to Jagannath Puri, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has now taken sannyas and he is residing there as Shri Krishna Chaitanya. And one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking to Advaita Acharya, who was visiting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. He was visiting from Navadvip. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Advaita Acharya, as soon as Advaita Acharya came in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Advaita Acharya, What did you do and where are you coming from? Advaita Acharya said, O Mahaprabhu, I am coming from the temple of Jagannath. After taking his darshan, I do that every day. I take his darshan and then I come to you. That is what I have done today. And I also circumambulated the temple of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra today, 5 or 7 times. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Advaita Acharya, as soon as he hears the word parikrama, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Advaita Acharya that today I have defeated you. So Advaita Acharya asks Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I don't understand how you have defeated me. Mahaprabhu, please tell me, what do you mean by saying that today you have defeated me? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I also went to take darshan of Jagannath, but I never moved my eyes from the beauty of Jagannath. Whereas, when you do parikrama, when you are behind Jagannath, you cannot see Jagannath, you cannot behold Jagannath with your eyes for some time until you come all the way around and in front of him again. So you missed his darshan for some time as you were doing parikrama. But I, on the other hand, I was standing in front of Jagannath throughout the time that I was in the temple, and my eyes never left the beautiful face of Jagannath. So Advaita Acharya smiled and he said, Oh Mahaprabhu, only you can talk like this. Only you can talk so sweetly. And yes, I agree that you have defeated me. And all the devotees, they went into ecstasy and started chanting, Hari, Hari, hearing this conversation between Advaita Acharya and his beloved Lord, Gaur Sundar. In this way, very beautiful conversations took place between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, and then they started doing kirtan. And as Swarup Damodar was doing ecstatic kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went into deep ecstasy, and right in front of all the devotees in Jagannath Puri, as he was dancing in great ecstasy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell into a dry well. There was a well which was filled with thorns and bushes, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell inside. But by the power of ecstatic bhakti, by the power of Shuddha bhakti, the well immediately became filled with fresh, soft butter. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was floating in that butter. And all the devotees saw that he is unhurt, unharmed, and he's floating blissfully in butter in that well. They all started chanting, Hari, Hari! And they gently picked up Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and brought him out. And Mahaprabhu said, How is it that I fell inside? How is it that I did not get hurt? And seeing this genuine inquiry from the Supreme Lord, as if he did not know what had happened, all the devotees' hearts became very glad. And again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started saying, My father will come. Pundarik Vidyanidhi will come very soon to Jagannath Puri. In only a few days, he will be here. Hearing this, Swarup Damodar became very happy. Because Swarup Damodar and Paramananda Puri, they were sannyasis. And they were serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Swarup Damodar loved to do kirtan, and Paramananda Puri loved to meditate on Krishna. They were both sannyasis, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the crest jewel sannyasi. But in his previous ashram, before Swarup Damodar became a sannyasi, Swarup Damodar was a grahastha, and his name was Purushottam Acharya, and he was also from the same place as Pundarik Vidyanidhi, from East Bengal. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Purushottam Acharya, who now was Swarup Damodar Goswami, they were very good friends. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Swarup Damodar were friends from long ago, from their younger days. So Swarup Damodar became very happy. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to meet Gadadhar. And Gadadhar Pandit told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, Mahaprabhu, the Ishta Mantra that I received from my Guru doesn't stay in my mind. Can you please chant it in my ear one more time so it will stay in my mind? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I would be an offender to do that, because your Ishta Mantra was given to you by your exalted Guru. Who am I to give you that same mantra again? It would be an offense on my part. But by my love, I will attract Pundarik Vidyanidhi to Jagannath Puri. And by your devotion to your exalted Guru, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, you also attract him somehow from Bengal to Puri. Pray to Krishna that Pundarik Vidyanidhi comes to Jagannath Puri. And very soon he will come and he will give you the mantra again so that it doesn't leave your mind. And exactly few days after that, Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to Jagannath Puri. And what a festival it was when the devotees saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Devotees were very happy to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi because they knew how much love Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had for his dear devotee, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that just by hearing the name Pundarik Vidyanidhi, one gradually gets Krishna Prem. That's why in our class today I'm repeatedly saying Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, because these are the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That anyone who even chants the name Pundarik Vidyanidhi and remembers my devotee Pundarik Vidyanidhi will get Krishna Prem. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to Jagannath Puri and Swarup Damodar ran and embraced his old friend Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And then Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my father has come, my father has come. And he embraced Pundarik Vidyanidhi. For a long time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not let go of his alingan, of his embrace. Devotees felt as if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to merge into the body of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. We have to understand Pundarik Vidyanidhi is Vrishabhanu. He is the father of Srimati Radharani eternally in Golok Vrindavan. Vrishabhanu Maharaj, he incarnated in Gaur Leela as Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Gadadhar Pandit is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. He is Radharani, he is Ladini Shakti. So Gadadhar Pandit is the daughter of Vrishabhanu or Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So he is embracing Pundarik Vidyanidhi. For a long time he just doesn't let go. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi is also tightly embracing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the tears from their eyes are wetting each other. And the devotees are in bliss seeing this wonderful sight of Mahaprabhu and Pundarik Vidyanidhi embracing. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a very beautiful Sankirtan which is led by Swarup Damodar, who is a very sweet singer. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance with all the devotees. And then Gadadhar Pandit comes and offers his humble obeisances to his Guru Maharaj, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi, knowing the heart of Gadadhar Pandit, again whispers the Ishta Mantra in the ear of Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit becomes ecstatic. And then Swarup Damodar tells Pundarik Vidyanidhi that I will take you to Jagannath, to take darshan of Jagannath. Please come with me. And the two friends holding each other's hands, very happily laughing and joking, they go to the temple of Jagannath and they take darshan every day. Together they go and they take darshan of Jagannath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requests Pundarik Vidyanidhi, please stay for some time with me in Jagannath Puri. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi gladly accepts the invitation. Then, at the beginning of the winter season, is the festival of Odana Shashti. On this day, Jagannath, Baldev Subhadra, they are gifted many new shawls, chadars, which are freshly weaved by the weavers and they are starched to preserve their integrity. So they are starched, freshly woven shawls, different colors, green, blue, yellow, beautiful chadars, shawls, and Jagannath has made many, many offerings of these shawls because it is the beginning of the winter season so that Jagannath Baldev Subhadra should not feel cold. So that is the first day of winter, Odana Shashti. So this festival was there and Swarup Damodar told his friend Pundarik Vidyanidhi that please come, let us watch this festival of Odana Shashti. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very happy. He said, yes, yes, let's go. And together they were standing and they were watching this beautiful festival of Odana Shashti. But as Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw the many different offerings of beautiful, colorful, starched, freshly woven shawls being gifted to Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, a doubt came in his mind. The Shrutis and Smritis say that one should never offer a starched cloth to the Lord. It should always be washed clean to remove all the starch before it is offered to the Lord. So he asked this doubt that had come into his mind. He asked Swarup Damodar, "My dear friend, can you tell me why the pujaris, who are representatives of the king, why are they offering the supreme king, Jagannath, cloths which are freshly woven by the weaver and they are still covered in starch? Why are they being offered like this? Why are they not being washed before being offered? What kind of practice is this in this country?" So Pundarik Vidyanidhi refers to Puri, Jagannath Puri, as a different country, because he's coming from Gaudadesh, he's coming from Bengal, and this is Odisha. So right now we have one big country called India with many states, but in those days, when the ruler changes, it would be a different country. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi is as if coming to a different country. He says, "In your country, what kind of practice is this, that you're offering starched clothes to Jagannath?" So Swarup Damodar says, "Oh, my dear brother, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, please don't think that there is any fault in this festival. This is how it has been done. And if Jagannath did not approve of this, he would have come in the dream of the king and told the king or the pujaris that he doesn't want it. But he is accepting it gladly. So there is nothing wrong in this." So Pundarik Vidyanidhi argued with Swarup Damodar. He said, "My dear brother, that is true. Jagannath can do whatever he wants. He is Swarat. He is fully independent. He is a supreme personality of Godhead. But his servants are not independent. Jagannath may do anything, but the servants should understand what the scriptures say, that we should never offer starched clothes to the Lord without washing them first. So why are they doing this?" Then again, Swarup Damodar tries to pacify Pundarik Vidyanidhi and says, no, please try to understand. This is going on and Jagannath is happily accepting it. Please don't see any fault in the servants of Jagannath. Please don't see any fault in the observance of this festival. It is very dear to Jagannath." So then Pundarik Vidyanidhi said, "Well, maybe what you are saying is right, but I feel that the Lord's servants should refer to the scriptures and see what the scriptures say about it and follow that." And then they did not fight. And then they both started laughing and they said, "Well, you know, Jagannath is the Supreme Lord, he's fully independent. Just see, he can do whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants." And then they saw the festival and they returned home where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying. And then they had prasadam with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then they all retired for the night. So now just see, when there was a difference of opinion between Swarup Damodar and Pundarik Vidyanidhi, they argued back and forth. They gave their arguments. But there was no bitterness. There was no bad blood, as they say. There was no ill feeling. There was no malice. And most importantly, there was no gossiping. Swarup Damodar does not come back to Gambhira and quietly tells Damodar or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or other associates that, "Do you know, today I took this Pundarik Vidyanidhi to the temple and he was criticizing the pujaris. He committed Vaishnava Aparad. He committed Dhamma Aparad. And, you know, everybody thinks that he's a great devotee, but he's committing offenses. He's a fallen person." No, nothing like that. So Swarup Damodar did not gossip. So, you know, a lot of things that we can learn from these dealings that are described in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, all our scriptures. So it's very beautiful. So then Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Swarup Damodar, they all take rest at night. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Antaryami. He is the Paramatma in everybody's heart. So he understands what has happened. And out of his mercy, he enters in the dream of Pundarik Vidyanidhi that night. And in the form of Jagannath and Baladev, he chastises Pundarik Vidyanidhi. "You come to my country, you come to my dham, you come to my temple, and you find faults with my festival, you find faults and you criticize my servants who are trying to serve me." And Jagannath and Baldev both start slapping Pundarik Vidyanidhi on his cheeks. They start slapping him, and they're slapping him hard, And Pundarik Vidyanidhi is in great pain. And he says, "Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, what are you doing? Please don't beat me. It really hurts, especially the rings on your fingers. They really hurt. I am really sorry. I am an offender. I should not criticize you, your devotees. I should not criticize your festival. Mm-hmm. I see that I am apradhi. I see that I am fallen. I accept that I made a mistake. I am really sorry. I will never do this again." And then his dream breaks. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi wakes up from his dream. And he's feeling full, he's full of guilt and repentance for the illusion that he had come under upon seeing the Udana Shashti festival. So in the morning, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, after performing his morning duties, he first goes to Swarup Damodar. And when Swarup Damodar looks at the face of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he sees that his face is swollen and there are slap marks on both his cheeks. So Swarup Damodar is very concerned, and out of great concern, he asks Pundarik Vidyanidhi, "My dear brother, what happened to you? Who did this to you?" And Pundarik Vidyanidhi said, "My dear brother, I am really very fortunate. I am really very fortunate. Today, my Lord Krishna has given me that mercy which he has not given to anyone in the history. He has not given this mercy to his sons in Dwarka. He has not given this mercy to any of his associates, to any of his devotees in any yuga, in any kalpa. This mercy has never been given. But today, Krishna gave me this very special mercy to correct my offensive mentality. Krishna personally came in my dream and he chastised me and slapped me with his own lotus hands, both he and his brother, Balabhadra. They both slapped me and chastised me for finding faults with the pujaris. There are so many people in this world who commit apradh, verbally and physically, but Krishna never comes in their dream. The mlechas who beat Haridas Thakur, Krishna never came in their dream. The Nawab who imprisoned and offended and criticized Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, Krishna never came in the dream of the Nawab or his soldiers who imprisoned and offended Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. There are so many people who commit aparad, but Krishna does not interfere in their life. But just see, my dear Swarup Damodar, just see, Krishna is so merciful to me, so kind to me, that he personally came in my dream that very night and corrected my offensive mentality. How merciful is this Krishna? How kind he is to me? So just see the attitude of a devotee. Brahmaji also prays like this in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Taddenukampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatma krutam vipakam rudavakvapurbhir vidadhan namaste jivetyo mukti padesa dayabha. When difficulties come upon devotees, the devotee's attitude is, "I am eagerly waiting for Krishna's anukampa, Krishna's mercy. Taddhenukampa susamikshamanu." Eagerly waiting. Bhunjana evatma krutam vipakam. All these vipakam that are coming, all these problems that are coming, bhunjana eva. Bhunjana, he silently suffers and endures them, thinking, "Atmakrut, I have created these problems. I have cooked my own karma. I am getting but a small reaction. Krishna is so merciful, he is giving me a token punishment for my mountain-like offenses." Rudavakvapurbhir vidadhan namaste. And with ruda, with heart, vak, words. Rudavak, vapu, and vapu with body. With heart, words, and body, the devotee offers namaste, offers obeisances to Krishna. And one who lives like this, Jivetyo Mukti Padesa Daya Bhag. A person who lives with this attitude, who silently endures the karmic reaction, the sufferings that come upon them, eagerly awaiting Krishna's mercy and thinking that I am responsible for this karmic reaction myself, and with his heart, with his words, and with his body, when a devotee offers grateful, respectful obeisances to the Lord, he becomes eligible for liberation. Liberation not just from this material world. The mukti that Brahmaji is talking, see, you have to understand, we have to understand the mood of Brahmaji when he's speaking these prayers. He has offended the pure devotees of Krishna, his sakhas and his calves, his cows. Brahmaji has offended them. Brahmaji has offended Krishna. And he's full of guilt and repentance. And he is offering these prayers. So Brahmaji is not talking about mukti from this world. Brahmaji is talking about mukti from the aparad that we have committed. Jivetyo mukti padesa daya bhak. It becomes our inheritance. Krishna's abode becomes our rightful claim if we have this attitude. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi very beautifully is demonstrating. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the live demonstration of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is Chaitanya Bhagavat. That is Gaur Leela. And Gaur Leela is going on today also. Srila Prabhupada is part of Gaur Leela. By somehow serving Srila Prabhupada, we can also take part in this Gaur Leela that is taking place, even today. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Paschatya Desha Tarine. Prabhupada brought it all over the world, the Western world also. And here we are sitting in the Western world, repeating the words of Srila Prabhupada and our Acharyas. How beautiful it is. How beautiful it is. So Swarup Damodar tells Pundarik Vidyanidhi, my dear friend, my dear brother, indeed, indeed, you are so fortunate. You are so fortunate that you have been personally blessed by Jagannath Baldev. Because when Krishna is merciful, he intervenes in our life. Yasyaham anugranami harishe tadhanam shanae tadhanam tajantyasya swajana dukha dukhada. Here also in Bhagavatam it is explained, and Prabhupada would often quote this verse, that when reversals come, it is Krishna's mercy. Krishna is trying to teach us. Krishna is trying to purify us. So Swarup Damodar tells him, you are so right. Absolutely right. So many people commit offenses, verbal offenses, even physical offenses to devotees, and nothing happens to them apparently. They live. They continue with their sins. They carry on. Apparently nothing happens to them. But Radha Shunya. They are deprived. Aparad. When we go aparadha, when we go against the Ladini Shakti by committing offenses, we become Radha Shunya. Externally, something may happen, something we may get leprosy, we may get accident, we may get punishment, or we may not get for some time. Externally, there may be reaction or there may not be reaction, but internally, our offenses, our aparad, take us away from Radharani. Radha Shunya. That is what we become. We become devoid of the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So, Swarup Damodar tells Pundarik Vidyanidhi that yes, so many people commit offenses and apparently nothing happens to them. They are not fortunate, they are most unfortunate. They are so unfortunate that Krishna is neglecting them. But just see, Krishna loves you so much that he put you into illusion to teach the world that one should not judge each other by just externals. He deliberately put a great devotee like you into illusion to teach the world. And he personally came in your dream to correct that offensive mentality. And in this way he has blessed you. So this is the description of Udana Shashti, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur says that whoever hears this pastime, whoever meditates on this pastime, whoever reads this pastime will surely, gradually make advancement in Krishna consciousness and ultimately get Krishna prem. So thank you all very much for your patient listening. Very grateful to serve you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much for a very, again, enlivening and sweet class. Very meditative as far as making sure that we, as you pointed out those 3 points, how insignificant we are and respecting everybody. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. So, yes, these 3 points that we discussed in the 3 verses, we can see that how, you know, we should always remember that we are so insignificant. We should not think that we know more than somebody else who is practicing Krishna consciousness in a little different way than what we are used to. That is what happened in this pastime of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He said, in this country, what is going on? They are offering starched clothes. It was something unheard of for him. So he could not reconcile that. And so we may also see similar things. You know, ISKCON is a very big organization. Prabhupada has created this worldwide organization. There are devotees from different backgrounds, different cultures, and there are a lot of details which can be bewildering, and it is not for us to judge others. We should stick to what Srila Prabhupada has given us and try to practice it nicely. There is so much nectar in what Srila Prabhupada has given us. What is the need to get into distractions of criticizing and in the dangerous zone of offending others? And also here we can see that how a devotee goes into ecstasy when he or she experiences Krishna's intervention. It is so beautiful. Actually, there is a similar example in Bhagavad Gita. Is it okay if for 2-3 minutes we discuss that? How a devotee goes into ecstasy when he or she experiences Krishna's intervention in their own life? Yeah, so in Bhagavad Gita, see, Ramanujacharya, Shripad Ramanujacharya, he explains that out of the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita, and see, just yesterday was Gita Jayanti, in the 10th chapter, 10.8, 10.9, 10.10, and 10.11, these 4 verses are the Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita. Shripad Ramanujacharya points out that these 4 verses are the complete essence of Bhagavad Gita. If you are going and somebody asks you, okay, what is your scripture? Bhagavad Gita. Can you tell me in just what is Bhagavad Gita? What is the message? These 4 verses. Just these 4 verses, they encapsulate the essential message of Bhagavad Gita. So Arjun was so karpanya dosho pahata swabhava. He was so much in anxiety. He was so bewildered, so confused. Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam. In the end, you know, in the beginning, he just surrenders to Krishna. Krishna, save me. I don't know what to do. I'm utterly confused. And he was heartbroken, Arjun. And Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to him, gave him such transcendental knowledge that Arjuna, his confidence was restored. His ignorance was gone. And he again felt gladdened and strong. So when Krishna speaks these 4 verses, just see the flow of the verses. So Krishna starts by saying, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mataha sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam buddhabhava samanvita machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha maam nityam tuschanti cha ramanti cha. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Tesham evanukampartham aham ajnanajam tama nashyami atma bhavasto jnanadipena bhasvata. So Krishna is describing, first is describing his own glory. Again, he is doing sambandha avidhaya prayojan. So he is explaining his own glory. Then he is explaining the process of bhakti, machitta madgata prana, how devotees come together and they glorify me. And tesham sarvayuktanam, in this way, devotees who are always engaged, I give them buddhi yoga. Yenamam upayantite. In this way, they can come to me. And now he is directly touching the heart of Arjun by saying, Tesham eva anukampartham, and anukampa, the same word again, tadhenukampam, here also, Tesham eva anukampartham, aham ajnanajam tama nashyami atma bhavasto jnanadipena bhasvata. By the light, jnanadipena bhasvata, by the light of the torch of knowledge, I destroy the darkness born out of ignorance in the heart of my devotees by my own anukampa, by my own mercy. When Krishna speaks this verse, 10.11, 10th chapter, 11th verse, until now Arjuna is silently listening to Krishna. But when Krishna touches his heart by saying this, that I destroy the ignorance in the heart of my devotees, myself, out of my love and compassion on my devotees, with the light of knowledge, Arjun cannot control himself anymore. Just read this in Bhagavad Gita. After 10.11, Krishna is speaking, Arjun is listening, and just what happens, just see. Suddenly, in 10.12, Arjun bursts out in ecstatic prayers. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Majam Vibhum Ahustvam Rishayas Sarve Devarshir Naradas Tatha Asito Devalo Vyaso Swayam Chaiva Bravishime. Just understand the heart of Arjun. He is listening and suddenly he goes into ecstasy when he realizes how it is true that Krishna, out of his mercy, he understands the heart of his devotees and he destroys the darkness in their hearts with the shining light of knowledge. So this intervention of Krishna, his merciful intervention in our life, when a devotee experiences that, oh, the devotee goes in ecstasy. The devotee goes in ecstasy. So this is also intervention of Jagannath, intervention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the life of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So it is very beautiful. Isn't there a nice correlation between Bhagavad Gita and these verses and this pastime of Udana Shashti? So I just thought we'll share that. Thank you so much, everybody. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Nandavats. Thank you so much. First of all, with the lessons that you were talking about from those three verses, it makes us think a lot. Very, very applicable the points you were making. The story of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, very, very mesmerizing class, Prabhu. There's so much maturity, I would say, in the points that you were talking about while seeing the story. Especially, there were some places that were very, very beautiful, where you were talking about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embracing him, and he felt like he was merging into Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving him such a beautiful embrace. I was just thinking, in the beginning, you were making a point about how insignificant each jiva is. And here you have the Supreme Lord giving himself so much so that he just wants to enter into the devotee. Now, of course, we all know that the super soul is with us. But sometimes, when we hear such pastimes of the Lord, It makes us think, though we are so insignificant, how magnanimous the Lord is. It was very heart-moving, Prabhu. The entire class was very, very beautiful, very meditative. So thank you so much. And there is so much to learn from this. Really love the Odana Sashti pastime and how Pundarika Dhyanath reacted. And more than anything else, the point that you were making towards the end about how there are certain things that people do differently, but it doesn't mean that we have the right to judge them as long as we are following in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps. So this is something we encounter in, on a day-to-day basis, actually, with everyone. And we tend to forget this very easily. So the more we are told, reminded in such classes, the better it is for us. So thank you so much. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Always indebted to you for giving such beautiful classes. Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji, for the encouraging. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Anyone else has any questions or comments for Prabhuji before we can end the call? Okay. So thank you all so much for joining and patiently listening. So we can end the call now. Vancha kalpataru vascha kripa sindhu bhevacha పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవృందకి జయ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయ శ్రీ శ్రీ చైతన్య చరితామృతకి జయ పుండరీకోద్యానిధికి జయ మిస్ గ్రేస్ ఆది గదాదర్ ప్రభుకి జయ హరే కృష్ణ
శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయ థ్యాంక్ యూ ఎవ్రీబడి థ్యాంక్ యూ హరే కృష్ణ
థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ ప్రభుజీ హరే కృష్ణ